subbing for Father Ricardo, who is recovering from COVID finally, is a great honor to be with you on this holy night. Two revelations this night, something old, something new. The old. I had just finished the three-hour Good Friday service in Marion, Massachusetts, when a friend phoned me with two tickets to the Celtics game. Larry Bird and Michael Jordan. When my son John arrived home from school, I told him, and he said, "Oh, Dad, let's go." "But it's Good Friday." "Jesus is dead," he said. "What can you do?" Jesus is dead, Christ is risen, and they are not the same. The inability to differentiate between the two has caused people to say the creeds with fingers crossed, shut down their minds, discard their faith, as if the two aren't compatible. At the root of the confusion is an inability to differentiate between physics and faith. Do I dare say out loud that our celebration is not dealing merely with a resuscitated corpse? In the joyful reality of Easter, I welcome you to another option, a real world where religion and science, history and faith are not at odds, but intelligible and unified. If our theological world, those worldviews, cannot coexist with the awesome insights of Stephen Hawking, they are not worthy of Jesus or of God. As our patron Luke wrote, "Why look among the dead for someone who is alive?" Jesus is dead, Christ is risen. My theology is this. As with all created beings, the physical body of Jesus began its earth-to-earth, ashes-to-ashes journey with his last breath on the cross. Jesus really died. But tonight's celebration proclaims that death was not the final word, which is why Easter is so amazing. The cross was able to catapult Jesus' spirit beyond a single moment of death into the flow of time. The miracle is that the energy of Easter never got stuck in the past. Why look among the dead for someone who is alive? The Jesus of history suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The Christ of faith rides the tides of history into our present lives. The historical Jesus was a revolutionary who broke through social religious boundaries of his day. The Christ of faith dares you and me to break through the boundaries of our day. Ideas as controversial now as Jesus' ideas were in his day. His revolution was not to believe certain things in order to be safe or saved, but to absorb a new and liberating attitude toward life, which allows for meaning and purpose without fear. The miracle of Easter is not that it happened once upon a time back then, but that it continues. Why look among the dead for someone who is alive? In his book, The Faces of Jesus, Frederick Buechner wrote, "The earliest reference to the resurrection is St. Paul's, and he makes no mention of an empty tomb at all. But the fact of the matter is that in a way it hardly matters how the body of Jesus came to be missing, because in the last analysis, what convinced the people that he had risen from the dead was not the absence of his corpse, but his living presence." And so it has been ever since. That living presence is amazing enough, because what should have been an angry reaction to an innocent death blossomed against all odds into a life-giving, life-affirming community, a spiritual energy continuing to this day, to this place, St. Luke's Los Gatos. As a living human being, just like we are, Jesus had received and transmitted that life-giving energy to his disciples, and nothing, not even cruel death, was able to stop it. Again, the miracle of Easter is that the energy of the resurrection never got stuck in the past. Why look among the dead for someone who is alive? So even as people debate how Christ was raised, the major problem for us is not what happened around 33 AD, but rather how Christ can break out of the graves into which people have entombed him now. What a cross could not do, organized religion has almost accomplished, locking him in cultural tombs built with human minds, trying to keep him at a safe distance. He's still dangerous. Jesus' living presence is crucial to Easter, lest pious memories relegate him to the past, keeping his spirit from being viable as a living force in our midst, where many Christians would prefer he stay out of. Christian nationalism is a case in point, using Christianity for terrible bigotry and politics. Why look among the dead for someone who is alive? The new. I realized yesterday morning, an experience happened last Christmas that gave me a hint of Easter. Seated by a window having dinner with my wife Jill at Oakmont Memory Care, a violinist arrived and began to play carols and Broadway tunes. When he started playing a familiar song, I began to sing it softly to Jill. And suddenly, she was there. Her face changed, and with the sweetest look in her eyes, not seen in ages, she said, "I love you." I said, "I love you too, sweetheart." It lasted only 5 seconds. She's forgotten. I'll never forget. At their last meal together, Jesus said, "Remember me when you do this." Luke provided a glimpse of Easter in his story of two disciples on the way to Emmaus who recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. He was suddenly there. Every Eucharist is a little Easter. Why look among the dead for someone who is alive? On this holy night, I proclaim to you in the name of the risen Lord a living faith that you can affirm with your spirit and your mind, that can integrate your belief with your knowledge, your behavior with your values, to form a new wholeness, not by overpowering laws of physics or biology, not by suspension of intellect, but by a transformation of understanding and vision, mind and attitude, energy and will. In Luke's perspective, I invite you to examine your inherited ideas and assumptions, and let the living Christ dwell in your grown-up mind and heart. I invite you to move to a reaffirmation of faith and joyful commitment to the man whose life and love lives in you and me, who make up his body, the church, to minister and celebrate in his name and spirit. In other words, I invite you to be Easter Christians, followers of Jesus, whom we call the Christ, our living Lord.